Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Evangelical Chinese Church of South King County. To begin this morning's worship service, I'd like to read from the middle of Psalm 118. I'll be reading from verses 14 through 24. The theme of both this section of the psalm as well as the whole psalm is the faithfulness of God as deliverer. Psalm 118. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's bow and pray together. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you that, Lord, you are a faithful God and a loving God, and a God who cares about each of us enough to be aware of what we're doing at any given moment. And not only that, Lord, that you knew what each of us would do, what each day of our lives would bring before any of us were created. And Father, for your love and for your faithfulness, Lord, we can never thank you enough, but we thank you anyway. Father, we especially thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, that we may have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. At this time, I'd like to invite all of you to stand with me. And as you stand, take a moment to see who's around you. If there is no one around you, feel free to move to where there is. Shake the hands of those around you. Wish each other good morning and happy Sunday. Thank you.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for your coming and just the salvation and the hope that it brings to us, God. Through this holiday season, may we remember the truth of your birth and what it meant. May we remember and may we realize the joy that the shepherds realized when they heard of your coming, God, that it was something they could not contain. This good news was something they could not resist but share, God. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for your hope and this joy that it comes with it. God, I pray that as Pastor Jim comes and speaks with us today, may you give him your heart and give him your words. That when they speak, they not be his words, not simply from him, but from you, God, and that you use him to speak with us, God. Let our hearts be receptive to your words and in humble and attitude. So I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. You may be seated. This week of Advent, we celebrate a season of joy. We rejoice in the imminent coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in his salvation waiting at the door. Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." Let us respond together. O Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your great work. You have conquered your enemies and taken away our judgments. Never again shall we fear. We will rest in your love and rejoice.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the season of Advent and the reminder that it is a season of great joy, Lord, not because of presents, not because of parties, but because of what you have done, sending us the greatest gift, your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that this morning we will remember this joy, and that we will proclaim this joy, and we will feel this joy, and we will sing of this joy and tell of this joy. Lord, as we come to the time where we study your word, Lord, open our minds and our hearts, give us focus, and help us to rejoice, Lord, in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What are some things that give you joy? Some things that really give you joy. And I don't mean things that make you just crack a smile or things that kind of warm your heart, right? There's a lot of that going on around Christmas time. You know, sentimental things that warm your heart. No, I'm talking about things that really make you rejoice. Rejoice. What makes you want to sing and dance and celebrate? Is there something like that in your life? I spent this past week with my parents, who flew all the way from Taiwan to see my sister graduate from her nursing program in Spokane. Graduation is a joyous occasion, right? It's the culmination of years of hard work and sacrifice. Graduation is a joyous thing. But this week, I was reminded of just how stoic my father is. Even during this joyous occasion, you know, he didn't show much emotion. I think those of us with Asian dads, we can kind of relate to this, right? For example, okay, during my sister's pinning ceremony, there was a separate pinning ceremony for the nursing school graduates, they called down the graduates' names one by one. And it would, for example, Jane Doe. And she would receive her pin, right, the little thing. And the friends and the families in the audience, they would yell and hoot and holler, yeah, go Jane, right? Woo-woo-woo. Eve Miller, yeah. And then, you know, that whistle, I can't do it, but woo-hoo, you go girl, right? And then it came to my sister, Angela Liang. Mary Smith, woo-hoo, the people brought air horns, you know, yeah, you know, the people were rejoicing, and that's actually how it went, okay? Now, my parents, they've always been pretty reserved, pretty stoic, especially my father, and growing up with him, you know, I think it has affected also the way that I view my heavenly father, kind of expressionless, unmoved, right, unfazed. And this view of God has also influenced the way that I related to him and the way that I worshiped him. My worship of him has become very self-controlled, very sober, very cerebral, right, but lacking in passion and enthusiasm. One blogger, we talked about this in a youth group last night, one blogger commented that worshiping at a Chinese church, you know, he feels, quote, as much emotional energy as a depressed turtle on NyQuil, right? We read this, you know, worshiping at a Chinese church, that's what he feels like. You know. Is your vision of God expressionless, unemotional, and joyless? Is your worship of God expressionless, unemotional, and joyless? Because both of these things are actually unbiblical. The Heavenly Father we see in the Bible celebrates and rejoices over his children. You know, and we are likewise told, no, we are commanded to sing and be glad and rejoice, right, with all our hearts. Look back in Zephaniah 3. Sing aloud. Sing, daughter Zion. Shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Israel, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp or grow weak. Now, the prophet Zephaniah, he's very much like the prophet Isaiah. You know, at times, he can be very bleak and depressing. And, you know, Zephaniah, like Isaiah, he predicts some pretty terrible judgments and curses that will fall upon the disobedient people of God and the godless nations, the heathen. But Zephaniah and Isaiah are also alike in that they prophesy this future hope for those who are humble and who would seek the Lord, this faithful remnant. And it is to these people that God says he will one day purify and restore and save them. And on that day, as we read right here, they will sing and shout with gladness and rejoice. Right, verse 14, those who have received God's mercy need not fear. Verse 15. Don't let your hands hang limp. Don't let your hands grow weak, right? Gather up your strength, verse 16 says. We are called to rejoice and celebrate what the Lord has done. You know, earlier we just lit the pink candle, the shepherd candle. And this candle reminds us not only of the good shepherd, but also of a story that surrounds Jesus' birth. In Luke 2, it says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So this Christmas is a cause for great joy for all the people, right? Christmas is a joyful season. Christmas is a joyful season. And yet, how many of us actually feel that way? I mean, we feel more like that depressed turtle on NyQuil, right? I'm feeling the energy in the room, right? That's what I'm feeling. How many of us feel like rejoicing and singing aloud, right? How many of us actually celebrate at Christmas? If we Christians believe what we say we believe, you know, that we don't have to work our way up to God, you know, God has come down to us, then we should be the most joyful people on earth, especially during Christmas. We all know that the holidays can be a very stressful season. You know, the traffic, right? It gets crazy. Finding parking at the mall, right? It's all but impossible. Money gets tight around the holidays because we spend on traveling and decorations and presents. Not to mention, you know, finding the right present for your loved one is super stressful, isn't it? You know, thinking of what they might like, what they don't already have, if they're going to return it or not, you know, all those little stresses add up. There's so many little things that surrounding Christmas that threaten to rob us of our joy. You know, it takes a conscious effort to fight it, to strip all that fluff away and be reminded of the simplicity of it all. Remember that this is a season of joy, right? We're supposed to rejoice. Emmanuel, God is with us, Zephaniah says. And Luke says, right? God is with us, Emmanuel. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. You know, earlier I shared about my stoic Asian dad and how it affected the way that I saw my Heavenly Father. I've always thought of God as a disapproving, unimpressed, emotionless deity. Oh, you did something to further my kingdom? Do some more. You sinned again? You're going to get it now. You want to go into full-time ministry? Well, don't screw it up. You know, this emotionless, unimpressed deity. Is this also how you see God? Is this how you see God? Because this is an idol. Right? It's an image of God that isn't real. That's just a projection of my view of God filtered through my emotional baggage. The God that we encounter in the Bible is not like that. He's not like this. Right? The Father that we see in the Bible delights in his children. He no longer rebukes us, but verse 17 says, he rejoices over us with singing. He rejoices over us with singing. Can you picture this? Right? God singing over us? Picture that. God singing over us. What would he sing? Right? What would he sound like? God singing over us. And God rejoicing over us? What would he say? What would he do? God rejoices over us. My best guess of what this could sound like and look like comes from Jesus himself in Luke chapter 15. If you want to turn there, Luke chapter 15, he gives us the parables of the lost things. It shows us this image of God that is not this unimpressed Asian dad, you know. In Luke 15:4, it says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Right? Verse 7, I tell you, in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And then Jesus continues to illustrate, and he gives us another parable And he continues in verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." Verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then Jesus finishes with the parable of the lost son. And you all know the story of the prodigal son. It ends, right, with this big banquet and much celebration and feasting because of the return of the prodigal. And then the father says in verse 32, "But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Now, what ties these stories together isn't just the lost being found, but the rejoicing, the celebration, right? And the telling of the good news to everyone who would listen, right? Holding a party, right? Can you imagine this? Our Heavenly Father holding a party for us in celebration of us? Of us? Holding a party for us? Right, can you picture this? Rejoicing in heaven over one repentant sinner? Rejoicing in heaven. My professor, he once told me that he imagines in heaven, okay, this is a fictional scenario, but he imagines that in heaven, you know, the angels, you know, they wake up every morning. The angels wake up in the morning and they open their newspaper. You know, let's call it the Heavenly Herald or something. They open their newspaper. And what they read about isn't politics and fighting, and the headlines aren't about conflicts here and there. What they're reading about in their newspaper is about people getting saved, people coming to faith, people entering the kingdom. It's about people, these stories that they read. It's about people being saved, the salvation. And then they read these news stories. They're reading. These angels are waking up and they read. First thing in the morning, John has been praying for his coworker Bill for years and years. And finally, last night, right, he shared the gospel with him. And Bill accepted. You know, and they read this in their newspaper. And then what do the angels do after they put down their newspaper? The angels, they read these stories every morning, and then they rejoice, and they sing, and they celebrate. That's what gets them up in the morning, and that's what gets them going and gets them singing all day long, right? These stories of salvation, you know? And it's not just the angels. It's God himself, right? God reads these stories, and then he sings and delights in his new children. You know, in about 10 minutes, about 25 minutes, in about 25 minutes, we're going to celebrate, you know, about 10 baptisms, right? 10 new people being initiated into the kingdom of heaven. And guess what? Guess what? Right now, there is rejoicing in heaven. You know, God is getting a party ready for this celebration, you know? You know that right now? Now think about, you know, during Christmas time, you probably hold holiday parties, right? You know, you invite people and, you know, but that's what God is doing right now. He's getting this party ready, this holiday party ready. He's sending out the invites. He's decorating and he's preparing this feast, you know, to celebrate these new believers. That's what God is doing right now. Brothers and sisters, we have a God who delights in us, who sings over us, who rejoices with us. You know, our God is not a stern, disapproving, unimpressed, stereotypical Asian dad. Right? Our God is not an emotionless, joyless deity. Our God is a loving father who rejoices over his children. He rejoices. Son, daughter, right, I've been waiting for you. I haven't seen you in so long. Right, come and give me a hug. Right? It's time to celebrate. Invite all your friends. Invite everybody. Let's throw a party. You're back, right? That is our God. That is our God. Christmas is a season of celebration and rejoicing. My main point today is very simple. It's printed in your bulletin. Very simple. We are called to rejoice because God rejoices over us. Can we say that all together? We are called to rejoice because God rejoices over us. One more time. We are called to rejoice because God rejoices over us. As I said before, if we really believe what we say we believe, then Christians ought to be the most joyful people in the world. And yet, why are we that depressed turtle on NyQuil on Sunday mornings? Why are we so joyless and emotionless? We should be full of joy. Is your Christian walk joyful? Is your Christian walk joyful? Think about it for a second. Is your Christian walk joyful? Or are you always stressed and fearful of God? If you are, then just go back into the arms of the Father who rejoices over his children. He rejoices over you. Your Christian walk ought to be joyful. This Christmas, are you joyful? Are you joyful this Christmas? If not, you know what? Maybe you need to strip away all that unnecessary stuff, the shopping, the presents, the parties. Just get rid of it. Simply go back into the presence of the Son and rejoice. Rejoice. I want to see you guys rejoice this Christmas. Rejoice like the shepherds did when they first received the good news. Rejoice like the angels do when the lost are found. Rejoice every morning like the angels when they read these stories in the newspaper. Rejoice because God rejoices over us. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I pray that you would tear down our idols, the false gods and false images of you that we may have in our minds. Lord, you are not an expressionless, unemotional, joyless deity. Lord, you are a loving Father who rejoices over his children. You rejoice when the lost are found. Lord, the angels rejoice and celebrate when people are baptized and sinners repent. Lord, I pray that would mark our Christian life. A walk of joy, not fear, not stress, not doubt. Lord, I pray that we would be more joyful. And the first step in being more joyful is to look upon you and see you as joyful. See you as the loving Father who delights in us. Lord, in this Christmas, if we are just full of stress and anger and doubt and fear, Lord, I pray that we would just strip all that stuff away and really get back to what Christmas is about. It's about celebrating the birth of our Savior. Lord, we thank you for this reminder to be joyful because you are joyful over us. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand. And let's celebrate with this song together.
Come, we don't come, we to bear.
a joy it is to know you and to know your kingdom, the eternity of it, and the fact that that is what is true and that is what matters, God. God, as during this holiday season, as we come together with family and we rejoice within that, may we also use that as remembrance in the rejoicing that will occur when we come together with our eternal family in heaven, God. We thank you for that, and we thank you for the fact that we are so unworthy, and yet you delight so much in us. God, that's not something we really understand, but yet we are so grateful for it anyways. We thank you for that. We thank you for this holiday season, the coming of your Son and the sacrifice. So we pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Thank you, Penny. Good morning to you too, Penny. It's great. So, as Pastor Jim indicated, we have a baptismal service where both congregations will be gathering. So there's a little bit of a break until then. The service starts at 10:30. Pick good seats. But make sure you're not late as you return. After the baptismal service, we will have a time of snacks in the fellowship hall. We will be sharing three different flavors of NyQuil together, so please prepare accordingly. After that, there is a classes, so the adult Sunday school behind us, we have the EE class in the church office, and the youth will continue to meet in the fellowship hall. It's great to see some faces that have traveled back from California and New York, and so I'm sure it'll be great to catch up with the multiple Californians in the back. So it's great to see all of you back, and we'll greet you warmly very soon. Next week is a joint service, and so the time starts actually at 10:30, right, instead of 9:30. You are welcome to be here at 9:30, but service starts at 10:30, and then after we actually have a special lunch, and so there will be a special meal we'll be sharing together, and there is a request to bring some homemade desserts, and so even though the preference is homemade, it literally means make it at home. Don't make it here. The kitchen will not be open, but please bring a dessert to share. And there is still a need for some volunteers to help set up and clean up. And so if you are able to help out, please talk to Pandora, and she'll put you to work. So that is the last of the announcements. So with that, Pastor Jim will pray for the next 12 minutes as we prepare for a baptismal class. Not class, the baptismal service.
For the next 3 minutes, guys, time for silent prayer. And then, the Chinese congregation will start coming in, so pick your spots and everything. But let's close out today, this morning. Father, thank you for just the opportunity to witness 10 people being baptized, people that will be coming into your kingdom, Lord, and we rejoice and we celebrate, Lord, as we know that you are rejoicing and celebrating in heaven along with all the angels, Lord. And I pray that this time, as we witness these baptisms, there will be a time of reflection for us. If we have been baptized, that we will remember just the sweetness of your grace that poured out on us and our baptism and our conversion. And for those who have not accepted Christ or have not been baptized yet, I pray that this will maybe move you and stir you to think about accepting Christ and receiving this gift And so, Lord, we look forward to witnessing these baptisms, and I pray that you would give us a spirit of joy, Lord, that we can rejoice with them. So thank you, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.